Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Oregon State beat Arizona State. They now travel to Pullman on Saturday where they'll get Washington State. I'm told by Washington State people that they get the whole week off for Thanksgiving, so the crowd at Washington State may be affected by that. It might not be. I might be. But it might also be affected by the fact that Washington State has been very up and down this season. We got Mike Leach coming on the show later in the week, or Washington State coach. But Oregon State goes into that game hunting for its sixth win of the year. If they get that win, they will be bowl eligible. Jonathan Smith will get a $25,000 bonus. Also, a provision in his contract will roll over, and he'll get an extra year on his contract for making a bowl game. There's a lot at stake. Nick Daschle, who covers the team for the Oregonian, might even get a raise. I heard a rumor about that. Do you get a raise if they make a bowl game?
I get nothing. All I get is I get nothing.
You get extra work.
Washington State students annually they get out the Friday before Thanksgiving, and there's years where Washington State pretty much gets on its knees and begs the kids to hang around for one more day. But I don't think this year is going to be one of those years where they do that, because a 5-5 team just isn't going to move the needle. But some years, you know, they're 9-10 wins or in the hunt for something. They'll try to get the students to stick around.
Does that affect this game? I have to think it does in some small way.
Well, I don't know. A little bit, maybe. The games that are the toughest at Pullman are the night games, because, you know, you get that Cougar crowd, get them all lubricated all day long, and they sit right behind the Oregon State bench, and it gets loud and obnoxious. I'm sure you've heard about that a few times from coaches. I know Dennis Erickson, he's talked about it before, and it's a nice atmosphere there. I wouldn't say it's, you know, one of the most intimidating in the Pac-12, but it's up there. But the students are kind of up in the they're on the side with the with Washington State, so they're not really in the area where Oregon State would hear them much anyway. So at least that was my memory, you know, from games I'd covered there, that the students were on the other side. So
let's
I don't know, it's gonna be it's not gonna be quite as loud, but it's also the most dangerous stadium I've ever been in my life too, so I don't think it's going to be like that one.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian covers Oregon State. He joins us. Daschle, I think this team's getting better, and they're winning close games. I think that's a byproduct of improvement. But what would making a bowl game mean for Jonathan Smith personally, the trajectory of the program? Because he's never going to say it, but what do you think it means?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is, you know, you get those extra practices where you can work with the younger players, and, you know, that's not going to hurt. But, I mean, it's just one more thing you can sell recruits on, is that, you know, not all, you know, what I've been saying, I'm delivering. You know, we've got a culture going here. We're moving things in the right direction. And we now it's just not talk. You actually have something to back it up. And so, you know, that I think that's the biggest thing, is, you know, what they can say to recruits. Other than that, I just, you know, I think it, you know, this year should lead to giving the university, you know, the people at the university, you know, to hit donors up for, you know, things that need improvement, like Reser Stadium. And the timing is pretty good on that, because they're going to need some dough to make this Reser Stadium West Side Project a thing, and so that's a factor too.
Isaiah Hodgins announced as a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award.
Semifinalist.
What is your opinion on his status? I know I have him on every week. I kind of lean towards he's coming back, but what do you think?
I'll be surprised if he's coming back. I don't know. You know, he's probably not going to blow you away in the combine. You know, he's a good athlete. Is he a great athlete? Probably not. You know, he's married. I just have a feeling that, you know, I think he wanted to make this a big season and see, you know, then kind of see where things stood at the end. And he's going to end up with probably 1,200-1,300 yards. Probably he'll be first or second in the Pac-12 in receiving. And I mean, he's a big body, and he's proven he can make moves and get open. And I think he's going to go, but you know, I don't have any inside information. I haven't actually, you know, drilled him about, you know, what are you going to do? I figure I'd give that another week or two, because they're not going to say right now anyway.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian with us. You had a really interesting post today on Oregon Live about the Civil War and kickoff time. How up in the air is this? What have you learned?
Well, it's either going to be 1 or 4:30. There's five TV windows for that day, and two of them got taken today by UCLA and Cal and Arizona State. They've got the two night kickoffs, so there's three left. There's a 1 o'clock on Fox, a 1 o'clock on the Pac-12 Network, and a 4:30 on ABC, and there's three games remaining. So that one, they're going to push clear till next Sunday to decide who's going to get what. But I think if Oregon wins and plays well at Arizona State, I'm pretty sure Oregon State will be the 4:30 game. Now, Notre Dame and Stanford's one of those three games, so you wouldn't think that game could be on the Pac-12 Network. So, you know, if somehow Oregon loses this weekend, then it's going to be a 1 o'clock kickoff, I'm pretty sure.
So at least it's not a 7:30 or 8. I'm happy about that.
Oh, you and me both. Oh, yeah. I've had, you've had your fill of 7 o'clock kickoffs, haven't you, this year?
I got home at like 2:30 in the morning. On Sunday morning.
For an old guy like you, that's murder, too.
And then I was out at the Clark County Fairgrounds for the dinosaur exhibit at like 9:30 in the morning.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. That's in my neck of the woods.
And then I had put up Christmas lights. What else?
Already? You know, I actually thought about that the other day. I thought about putting mine up this week.
It's poor form.
Well, it's more of what my timing than, because my wife doesn't like. She doesn't want anything to do with Christmas until Thanksgiving has passed. So
yeah, she's normal. She's a normal person. I'm not. Our Christmas lights are up.
She's not totally normal. She got married to me, so she's gonna be totally normal.
Daschle, I am upset at some people who are criticizing Oregon State fans for going onto the field. I mean, give me a break. They're 5-5, but what was that like? You were there. What was it like to see that joyful celebration on the field?
Yeah, it was kind of weird because I was following a bunch of the players over to the family section because they were going to sing the fight song. You know, Gus Lavaca was going, "Hey, come on over." You know, he's getting all the players. And all of a sudden, they're just about ready to sing, and all of a sudden they turn around and they go, "Oh!" And all these students have run out on the field. And so, you know, that immediately got cut off, and everybody kind of got in the middle of the field, and it was just, yeah, it was kind of a free for all for a while. But yeah, there was, I mean, fans were there taking selfies with all the players, and the players were taking pictures. I mean, it was pretty joyous down there. I don't know why people would get all worked up about that. I mean, yeah, if Oregon State was doing that two or three times a year, that might be one thing. But this was the last game of the year. They hadn't won a meaningful home game in what, 3 years? I mean, I can't believe people really get all worked up about that.
They have Washington State and Mike Leach on the horizon here. How does this game unfold in your eyes? As you look at Oregon State, the momentum they have, Washington State, what kind of game is this?
Well, I picked it 54-48, if that's any indication. Yeah, I can't see their team stopping one another. It, you know, Washington State is, is 11th in the league in stopping the run. So you think Oregon State's going to run, going to be able to run when they want. Washington State isn't all that good at stopping the pass. But Oregon, I wonder with all those receivers how Oregon State's going to contain them. Because, you know, I watched Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State the other day. I mean, he just torched Oregon State deep and wherever he wanted to catch the ball. And Washington State's got a couple of those guys. Well, I don't know. I don't know if Oregon State's ever going to get off the field with their defense against Washington State. But if they can get off the field, two or three times with them, and maybe that's all it would take for Oregon State to win the game. But it's going to be a tall order to stop Washington State.
I'm going to go back about 6 weeks, because I think if you go back 6 weeks, you probably are not feeling as optimistic about the program. We're not talking about a bowl game. We're just talking about, can they find a win or two wins? And, the program 6 weeks ago versus now, did you see this coming? Or was this a best-case scenario?
Oh, this is best-case scenario. I mean, especially when you boot one against Hawaii, you boot one against Stanford, you're thinking, they kind of ran out of some chances here. And, how could they possibly win five games? But, the Pac-12 is really, once you get past the top two or three teams, it's pretty wide open. I mean, you play these games again, and Oregon State could lose them all or win them all. It's just kind of who's hot on a given day. But yeah, I'm pretty surprised, and I think most Beaver fans would say the same thing. I don't think anybody could have seen this coming after Stanford when they were 1-3 with just a win over Cal Poly and the schedule coming up with most of their tough games. I don't know how you could have possibly seen this coming.
Daschle, you have it 54-48, Washington State. If Oregon State's going to a bowl game, let's get Beaver fans all the way there. What do you see? Is it a Vegas bowl? Is it a Mountain West opponent? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I wrote about that this morning, too. Actually, Oregon State's in pretty good shape because of their conference record. There's already six teams that have got five losses. So Oregon State, if they win, they're minimum going to be 5-4. So they cannot fall below the sixth spot in the bowl pecking order, which means no Cheez-Its bowl, that they can't possibly fall that far. I think it's going to either be the Sun Bowl or the Vegas Bowl, but it kind of depends on whether, what happens with Oregon and Utah. If Oregon goes to the football playoff and Utah goes to the Rose Bowl, then then USC's probably going to the Alamo Bowl. And then from there, Washington's probably the Holiday Bowl. So Oregon State could move up as far as the Red Box Bowl even.
Here's what I see. And, here's what I think is going to happen. I do think Utah is going to go to the Rose Bowl. And I think Oregon is either going to the playoff or they're going to a New Year's Six Bowl, like the Cotton Bowl or something. And I think that slides everybody up.
Do you think if Oregon loses to Utah that they would still be in line for New Year's Day Bowl?
I do. I think they've got a draw, and at that point you're looking at their ranking. The loss would be to Utah, who is, that's not a bad loss. So they lost to Utah and they lost to Auburn. Hell, I put them in the Cotton Bowl against Auburn. Let's rematch.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But then Auburn's not going to get in there either.
But, yeah.
But Minnesota, you got Minnesota, you might be right. I don't know.
Of course, I'm right.
I guess we'll see.
Of course I'm right. All right, Daschle, go ahead. Finish that thought.
No, I was just going to say, if you had to pick, say, for example, between Oklahoma and Oregon, what bowl, if you're a bowl committee, which one would you pick?
Depends. I Oklahoma's got it tough because they got to still play Oklahoma State. Presumably, they got to play a Big 12 championship game. So you're saying if they don't make the playoff, both teams don't make the playoff, who am I picking? Gosh, I would love to see Oklahoma play Oregon. How about that one?
Well, because Oklahoma's, even if they don't get it, they're going to be two losses. And, you're looking at 11-2 teams. But, boy, Oklahoma's fun to watch.
Yep.
That's fun to watch.
Might have the Heisman Trophy winner in Jalen Hurts. I mean, you got a candidate at least. And you have two good quarterbacks. You have two good fan bases that travel well. We could put these bowl games together. It's not that hard.
Yeah, we could.
All right, Dashiell, you're the best. I appreciate you, man.
All right, we'll see you.
Okay, there he is, Nick Dashiell of the Oregonian. Who Got Smoked is coming up. Line up now, 503-417-7575. You tell me who got smoked. Also, I want you to do something for me. If you got a browser in front of you, do you have your mobile device in your hand? Go to ChelseaAudioVideo.com. I literally thought about them this morning. I thought, you know what? How much smarter is my house? You know why I thought that? Because I was leaving the house, had a whole bunch of lights on. Kitchen light was on. The light by the table was on. Somebody had put on the music in the morning when the kids were having breakfast. And I literally leaned over, touched one button on the wall, and everything went down. My house is smarter. Chelsea Audio Video did that. I also get updates throughout the day. Hey, FedEx just dropped a package on the doorstep. You know why? Because we've got a security camera around the entire perimeter of the residence. It's safer and it's smarter. Chelsea Audio Video can do that for you too. But you have to start this on your browser and your mobile device, ChelseaAudioVideo.com. See what I'm talking about. We're going to play Who Got Smoked coming up. You can line up. I do have two lines still open. This is rare. 503-417-7575 is the phone number. Line up and grab those. Here's the name of the game. You have to tell us over the weekend who got smoked. Who is it who got smoked? Is it a team? Is it a person? The more creative you are and the more accurate you are, the higher you go up. The playoff selection committee, they huddle. It's a bunch of bigwigs huddling up. This is just Adriana, myself, and Peter Sampson. I can't even see you guys. Both you guys sit in the dark. I can barely see you, Peter. Why do you guys sit in the dark? What I don't get, because for people who don't know, Studio A is my studio. Next to me, through a double pane glass window that is large, I'm going to say it's probably like 48 by maybe 6 or 7 feet long, 48 inches, maybe 4 feet by 7 feet long, big glass window. I can see Peter. And then way down the way through a similar sized window, I can see Adriana two doors down. But when I have my lights on and you guys have your lights off, it really puts me at a disadvantage. I can barely see you, Peter. And I can only see her. I can see her glasses and her sweatshirt.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you're at a disadvantage. There is a real reason I do it. I concentrate better in the dark. I've always been that way since I was a kid. I like to read in the dark just with a little handheld light. I'm better. I'm more on my game that way.
What about you?
I usually have my light on. I just turned it off because I usually keep my windows open too, but I had my first migraine last night.
Oh boy.
So I'm a little bit sensitive at the moment.
You see what I mean now? I just turned my light off. How do you guys like that?
Yeah, it's tough.
Can you see me?
A little bit.
You're hiding, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
But if only because my monitor. How about if I take my monitors away?
If you do, yeah, right, because when you have the monitor.
Your light on. Turn your light on in your studio.
Okay.
Turn your lights on. Do you understand what I'm looking at now?
You look like you're going to tell a ghost story,
yeah.
John.
This is not a campfire story that's going on down here. All right, we're going to play Who Got Smoked. Line up. We'll pick the winner. By the way, I was at the Oregon football game, and I got somebody who came up to me at the Oregon football game and said, hey, Canzano, when are you going to put Alabama Adriana on one of your Facebook videos? That I do these Facebook videos before the show sometimes. Everybody wants to know what Adriana looks like. How come nobody wants to know what Peter looks like?
No one cares about Gen X, man.
Everybody wants to know, what does she look like? And I said, well, by the way, there happens to be a video on the Bald Face Truth Facebook page that has Adriana right at the beginning of it.
Well, there
so,
you go.
If you want to see what Alabama Adriana looks like, you have to go to the Bald Face Truth Facebook page, and you can see her. I got people coming up to me at the Duck game going, hey, They're not being rude. They're just like, what does she look like?
If you follow me on Twitter, you would know.
I also say, oh, go ahead.
At Alabama Adriana.
You can do that. Or you can go to the Facebook page. You can
or
see
that.
A whole, they can see you in living motion in the Facebook page. Like, what celebrity do you think you resemble?
I've been told either like Emma Roberts or Sansa from Game of Thrones.
A little bit of both. I want to say Gwyneth Paltrow a little bit, just because you're tall.
And blonde.
You're tallish. You're, what are you, about 5'9"?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 5'9". Blonde, blue eyes. Walks with a funny gait. If you see her out on the streets, you'll know who I'm talking about.
What do you mean?
You have kind of a gallop to your walk.
I'm trying to get places. No time for the slow walkers.
Let's play Who Got Smoked.
It's time for Who Got Smoked. It was a wild weekend, and we want to hear who you think had it bad. Let us know who got smoked. Powered by Reverend's Barbecue in Selwood, home of the Sandwich and Session Special. Call 417-7575. Today's top submission will win a $50 gift card to Reverend's Barbecue.
Who got smoked? Tyson in Portland's going to lead us off. Tyson, you tell me who got smoked.
Hey, John, the Broncos got smoked the second half.
They were up 20 to nothing.
Minnesota for melatonin in the locker room. I think they're pumping melatonin in their water sources because they absolutely fell asleep.
I love it. They were up 20 to nothing and then gave up like 27 unanswered points to lose the game. Broncos lose. Tyson says that's who got smoked. He's currently the leader, by the way. Jackson Kaiser. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, John. I'm going to go with the poor kid that can't catch a break and Tua Tagovailoa. He shouldn't have even been in that game, and it might even threaten his career. Not only that, but his draft stock might even drop and lose some money.
I heard people talking about whether or not he's going to play again. You know,
yeah.
Will he take a year off? Will he come back? Jackson Kaiser with a strong entry there. You keep holding. Tim is in Canby. Tim, who got smoked?
Wilsonville girls varsity soccer got smoked by the refs.
How so?
There's a video where the ball actually goes into the goal, and it wasn't called.
Oof.
And it's an amazing video to see. So I'm saying they got smoked. They lost the championship.
This is a girls 5A soccer championship?
Yeah.
Man.
Crescent Valley, I think, yeah.
Brutal. That's tough. Were you there?
Yeah.
It's tough. These kids lay it on the line. Come on. Refs, get it right. No replay in there in girls soccer in high school, huh?
No. It was frustrating. And then my wife sent me the video this morning and said there's proof, and it's an amazing video. I sent it to KGW also. Maybe they can make a story on it.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the other thing. Like, you know, you don't want to rain on Crescent Valley's parade, so to speak. And sometimes bad calls are part of the game. And I'll spin it positive by saying, you know, it's sometimes, I'm a big fan of sports being a place where we can all go to fail. I mean, I mean that literally, especially kids. You're going to get a lot of failure in your life. You do. It happens. And people who are successful still have a lot of failure in their life. They just happen to be people who kind of bulldoze through it, and they get up, they keep going. People say, oh, you're so lucky. A lot of it is perseverance. I am a big believer in that, just perseverance. It's perseverance for you to get up every day and get yourself to work, get kids off to school. It's perseverance. But I think the foundation of that comes in youth sports and in high school sports too, where bad things happen. Someday you're going to grow up, you're going to lose a job, somebody's going to die, there's going to be an accident, there's going to be a health issue. And to that caller's point, to Tim and Canby, like, yeah, it's terribly disappointing when high school game doesn't go the way you're supposed to, or the official misses a call. But I think there's also kind of some foundational growth that happens. Even if you're on the losing end of something that should have gone your way, I keep saying it, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. I think sports is a great place to go to fail, because that gives you an opportunity to show, hey, we didn't get that game. We got screwed on that call. Things didn't go our way. and you have a chance to persevere and move through it in a way that I think is gives you some real growth as a person for later in life when there's a health issue or something doesn't go your way at work or something bad happens, where it's not the first time in your life that something unfair or bad has happened, and you have this foundation that's inside of you that says, hey, you know, even though bad things happen, I trust and know that I can turn this into a positive moment and I can get through this. And yeah, I wish the officials got the call right, but in some weird way, maybe what the Wilsonville girls soccer team got was more valuable. Is that Pollyanna? Did I get that right?
No, I dig it.
I'm a big believer in that. Like, you got to have a safe place to fail. Josh is in Eugene. Josh, tell me who got smoked.
Well, once again, John, I think the NFL and Roger Goodell got smoked when it came to this handling of a Kaepernick workout thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just not. I mean, the fact that they wouldn't allow them to have his own cameras there for transparency, and then they moved it, wouldn't allow media there. The NFL just comes off as having a bad look once again, and it's a long list of whether it's this, social conscious issues, domestic violence, child abuse. I mean, they just seem to drop the ball time after time, and it's just another example of that.
I think it's a strong take. I mean, I watched that. I was kind of rubbernecking on that during college football Saturday and going, okay, what's going to happen with the Kaepernick? What, they're moving the workout? What's going on? What's happening here? And I ultimately think in the end, like, you know, if he were better, can we all agree, if he were marginally better as a quarterback, or maybe even, like, let's just say two clicks better as a quarterback, that somebody would have looked past everything and gone, we have to have this guy. Like, if he were really, 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 really good, no question about it, does anybody believe that he wouldn't be signed?
No. I mean, you look at Antonio Brown, it's absolutely he'd be signed.
Because you have a faction of people who say Colin Kaepernick has not been signed because of his political viewpoints and his protesting. And then you have a faction of people saying he hasn't been signed because he's not talented enough. I happen to think it's a blend. I think there's a sliding scale of, and I think this is true for all jobs. I think it's true for my job. Okay? I think they give you a wider berth in any job, in any profession in the world. They will tolerate more of you. You're a distraction. You have, you know, you're a bad person to be around, whatever. If you are more talented, I do think you get a wider berth. And it's true of the NFL. And I think the NFL is the place where it's like glaringly true. Like, man, that guy's a horrible human being. Look at what he did in his past. I'm not talking about Kaepernick. But some defensive tackle who's got two DUIs and domestic violence in his past, and everyone's like, we got to give him a third chance. That's like so glaringly obvious. I think it's some blend with Kaepernick of, hey, if he were a little better, or if the distraction weren't as red hot as it would be to take him, I do think he'd probably be on a team. I think the Seahawks, if you're being real, let's just use them as an example. They bring him in. I think if they had worked him out and they were just like, damn, he is phenomenally good. Like, he could be the quarterback that presses Russell Wilson later in Wilson's career for time. And man, what an insurance policy he's in. I don't care how much media attraction it would bring. I don't care how the questions, the distraction it might be during the season. Man, we're going to sign this guy. I think that would happen. Or if he were just, if the media would just go away and be like, you know what, wherever he signs, there's not going to be any distraction. I think 28 teams would take him right now and be like, well, put him on the roster. He's good enough. I think it's a sliding scale. It's not one or the other. I think it's both. Let's go to Nick, who is in. Is it Nick or Rick? Rick in Eugene. Rick, go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I think I don't know which one was worse, the Big 12 or Baylor Bears get trampled by the Sooners.
What'd you think? Which one? You got to pick one.
I'm going to the Baylor losing it. That's gonna suck.
Yeah. There you go. Here's my advice too. If you're gonna, I love people to call in, but you got to pick one. You can't come on air and go, it's one of these or the other. That tells me that you don't believe in what you're selling on the Who Got Smoked front. You're just trying to win the contest. Sell me something. Robert is in Eugene, listening on Fox Sports Eugene. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, I think the people who thought Kaepernick was going to be
Oh, man. I so wish your phone did not break up because you got smoked. Okay, here are my finalists. Here are my two finalists. I think Jack and Kaiser, Tua Tagovailoa getting smoked. That's a big news story. I'm glad somebody brought that up. I hate that we're currently in a system that incentivizes coaches like Nick Saban to have guys on the field trying to run it up and make a statement. And it's the worst possible kind of injury. If it was like an injury to a defensive end or something, we wouldn't be talking about it. But here is your quarterback who was in the Heisman discussion, who is a can't miss NFL prospect, who gets hurt because you have him on the game when he shouldn't be in the game. And then Josh from Eugene called in and said Roger Goodell and the NFL got smoked on this Kaepernick workout. Those are my finalists. You guys tell me who's the winner. Peter, where's your vote?
Josh and Eugene. I agree 100% with his take.
Alabama Adriana, chit-chatting on the phone. We need your vote. Who's the winner? Is it Jack who says Tua Tagovailoa got smoked, or is it Josh who says the NFL and Roger Goodell got smoked?
I think I like Jack's.
Oh, we're tied. Leaves it to me as the person. It's too bad they wouldn't go together to lunch.
There you go.
I'll tell you what. I don't know that we have ever had a winner in Eugene who's won before. I'm going to go with Josh and Eugene. Josh, you're the winner.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Thank you.
Really close. Really close. But yeah. I think you got it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I thought I was going to go with Tagovailoa, and then I switched because I had those two that were on my mind. But when he went with Tagovailoa, I went to the NFL.
Yeah, I thought you had a strong take. I thought you supported it well. And congratulations. Who are you taking with you to Reverend's Barbecue?
Oh, I'd be killed if I didn't take my wife. So
there you go. Smart guy. All right, Josh and Eugene. Congratulations. You're the winner. You hang on. Adriana will be talking to you next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.